In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. In today's Gospel, we hear about the fear of the disciples. Our Lord has just worked the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, multiplying the fish and the loaves, and showing that He's the God of all things. He's the God of the universe. He's the creator of all things. He's just demonstrated to His disciples that He has the power to take a few loaves of bread and a few fish and feed 5,000 people. But how quickly they forget who He is and what He can do. How quickly we forget. So the Lord, after working this miracle, sends His disciples. They go across the Sea of Galilee. They're in the boat. And it's in the middle of the night. And our Lord has stayed behind to pray alone. And now He comes to join them. Except He doesn't join them in a normal way, at least what we think is normal. He comes walking on the water. You know, He didn't get out in His little kayak or something. He's simply walking across the surface of the water. And the disciples see Him coming, and what does it say? They were terrified. Terrified. They said, "It's a ghost." Right? But the Lord draws near, and He says, "Do not be afraid. It is I, your Lord. I'm coming to join you. I'm with you. Now of all times, you need not be afraid, because I am with you." And Peter, impulsive Peter, demonstrates the fact that he does believe that, at least for the moment. And he asks the Lord, "If it's you, call me out to join you on the water." And the Lord says, "Come." And he comes. And he begins walking on the water. But then what happens? He sees the storm. He notices the wind and the waves and everything. He's distracted. He loses his focus on the Lord. And he begins to be afraid. And he sinks. And then he cries out, "Lord, save me." And the Lord lifts him up. And then, of course, they come back into the boat and they return to the shore. And the Lord says to Peter and to all of them, "Oh, you of little faith. Little faith. Why were you afraid? Why did you doubt?" So in this passage, we have a beautiful lesson about fear and doubt and trusting in the Lord and what the Lord can do if we'll only let Him in our life. You know, the disciples are often described as being afraid, and I think this is so that we can identify with them, because all of us struggle with fears. We have all kinds of fears. They come in many forms. You know, sometimes we're afraid for our life when we're driving and some driver cuts in front of us or something like that. Or maybe we're texting or doing something we shouldn't have been doing while we're driving, and it's a close call and we become afraid. But a lot of times our fears come in other forms, you know, something that we think maybe God is calling us to do, or other people are expecting us to do, or because of our job we have to do, or whatever. And it's intimidating to us. We become afraid. Or maybe we have social anxiety. We get in situations with other people where we're uncomfortable and we're afraid of having to face those things. So fears come in all kinds of forms. And we all can identify with that very much. But the interesting thing is, you know, Scripture talks about this. It talks about the fears of the disciples. But, you know, more often than not in Scripture, when it talks about fear, it talks about it as something good. What is that fear that's good that the Scripture talks about? The fear of the Lord. The fear of God, right? It's a completely different kind of fear that we're talking about. It says in Proverbs, "The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom." And again in Psalms, the same thing. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. We hear about this kind of fear throughout Scripture and throughout the prayers of our church, throughout the liturgy. What does the deacon say when he comes out with the holy gifts for communion? With the fear of God and faith and love, draw near. Obviously, from that statement, we know that the fear of God is not something opposed to faith or love. The other kind of fear is. The other kind of fear prevents love. The other kind of fear is opposed to faith. It comes when we don't have faith. But the true fear, the good fear, the godly fear, the holy fear, the fear of the Lord, is the one that makes faith and love possible. St. John Climacus, in The Ladder of Divine Ascent, has a beautiful, concise statement in which he compares these two kinds of fear. He says, "The one who has the fear of God is afraid of nothing else. The one who does not have the fear of God is afraid even of his own shadow." Wow, that's it. Now, granted, like with all things, there are degrees and there's the little by little of our life, you know, that little by little we're growing. But the goal for each of us is to be filled to the brim with godly fear, which will cast out every other fear in our life and will give us true courage. It's only with the fear of God that we can have real courage and face anything in our life. You see? But if we don't have that fear, if we don't cultivate that fear, if we're not even making an effort to cultivate the fear of God in our life, then our life will be consumed with all other kinds of fears. It's true. So little by little, as we're able to, this is what we must do. We must recognize the need for the fear of God and do what we can to cultivate that. Now, I was shown two wonderful examples in different ways. They came to me this week. Two wonderful examples of the fear of God. The first one, many of you have already heard about. It was just a reminder of our dear Metropolitan Saba in the Diocese of Bozra Horan. You know, this is our St. Timon Sunday that we celebrate every year. Once a year, close to the Feast of St. Timon, which was actually yesterday, on the nearest Sunday, we have St. Timon Sunday. And the reason why we do this is that our diocese here, the Diocese of Wichita and Mid-America, has a sister diocese relationship with this Archdiocese of Bozra Horan, which is the southernmost kind of corner of Syria. And St. Timon, who is mentioned in the book of Acts, he was one of the first seven deacons who was ordained, was sent to this region. So he became the apostle to this region of Bozra Horan. So to this day, they recognize him as their apostle, the one who brought the faith. Unfortunately, in this day, in this age, that region has suffered greatly in all kinds of ways. They've become terribly impoverished, the people there. And this was true before the war began. And of course, it's been exacerbated by the war in Syria. The people are terribly poor in that region. And our Orthodox Archdiocese there does wonderful work of charity, giving food, feeding people. And they don't discriminate by religion. They feed whoever comes to them as much as they're able to do. They build dormitories for the students who come to Sueda, the city there, to study at the university. They do all kinds of wonderful works, and whatever we collect and send to them enables them to do that work. Sadly, this past week, there was an attack in Sueda. And brothers and sisters, you have to understand, that's the safe place where our people have gone to, where ISIS hadn't taken a foothold. But now ISIS has come, and at least they're claiming this, and they've attacked there. But I say all of this both because you should be aware and pray for our brothers and sisters there, especially for Metropolitan Saba, but also because I want to tell you again, I think I shared this before a few years ago, but I want to tell you again about what Metropolitan Saba said to us when he was with us in Boston for the Archdiocese Convention. He talked about the fact that he was there in this poorest of dioceses in Syria, in this war-torn region, and, you know, just with the people there who struggle and suffer terribly. And he said, you know, I could have left. I could have left. I could have come to America, or I could have gone to some cushier place. He said, but God put me there. I'm not going to leave the people that God brought me to. He said, they're suffering, so I'm going to suffer with them. This is where God has put me. And brothers and sisters, that takes courage. And you know what it is? And I'm not canonizing Metropolitan Saba here, although God knows. But what I'm saying is it's clear from his life and his choices that he has the fear of God. And that he's inspired by that fear of God to do what he's doing. To stay faithful, to be where he is, not to give up. To be true to his flock, to be true to Christ. He's following in the footsteps of St. Timon, following St. Timon's example there in that region, and God is blessing it. He's blessing it. So I ask for your prayers for Metropolitan Saba and his flock, and I mention him as an example of living out the gospel and living out this fear of God, which enables us to be courageous. God gives us grace to face whatever we must face when we live with godly fear, with fear of him. Another example, wonderful example, that I saw this past week on Monday. I was with the teens at the Antiochian Village for the SOYO leadership training, and we took a little field trip to Pittsburgh. And we went to the Hill District in Pittsburgh, which is known as a place of great poverty, of a terrible crime rate, high homicide rate. It's a place of suffering, certainly. And we met Father Paul Abernathy and his presbytera Christina, and they told us about their ministry there. They felt called, Father Paul was from that area, and they felt called to go to this, really, it's one of the worst areas in Pittsburgh, and to establish a mission. So they've established an Antiochian Orthodox mission there in the Hill District and a ministry. And he described how they began, and he said, we began with nothing. We didn't have a grant. We didn't have any particular funding from anybody. We had, you know, hardly two pennies to scrape together. That's it. But we had faith in God. We trusted that he was calling us to do this. And he said he believed that God was now blessing them because they took that step of faith, just trusting that he was calling them to do this and doing it. There are all kinds of excuses they could have made up for why they couldn't do that. You know, all kinds of fears that I'm sure they had to contend with in their own hearts and amongst the people around them. But they stepped out in faith and they did it. And you know what? It's amazing. It's amazing. It's still a fledgling ministry, you know, maybe 5 years old. But, I mean, first of all, they have the little mission there. People just come in off the street. I was there, they have sixth hour every day, and just some guys that look like gangsters off the street with, you know, reading the Psalms, participating in the sixth hour. It's beautiful. But they have amazing ministries too. They have this trauma response unit. It's like an RV that they've converted. Whenever there's a homicide in the neighborhood, they drive to the place, and immediately, sometimes like as soon as the police are there, they're there talking to the family members. And you know, he said when they first went to the city of Pittsburgh and sort of pitched this idea to them, they said, well, we've tried everything. We don't know what we can do about this crime. We might as well just let the Orthodox try. That was their response. Go ahead and give it a shot. He said, after 5 years with their trauma response unit and the other ministries they're doing, the homicide rate is cut in half. Yeah, miracles are possible when we have faith, when we have the fear of God. So again, I see Father Paul and his presbytera as an example of, you know, I'm sure they had fears, but the fear of God was greater. And they were inspired to go and do this work, and they did it in faith. How would we define the fear of God? How would we describe it? We could use lots of different words to try to articulate what we're talking about. I think visually we see it. For example, when the consecration of the holy gifts happens, we call down the Holy Spirit upon the gifts, and then we hit the deck, you know? You see the priest and the deacon and any of the people who wish to, they fall on the ground. That's a visual, you know, the prostration when we fall on the floor, fall on our face before Almighty God, who is present in power in our midst. So we can describe it as awe. We can describe it as reverence. We can describe it as incredible respect. We can describe it as being aware of God's majesty and of His power. We can describe it as perfect faith and trust in His strength and His goodness and His love. It's all of those things. And it's what gives us our courage to be faithful to God. Now, what is it? We've talked a little bit about what the fear is and examples of it and why it's important, this fear of God, and how it casts out every other kind of fear. But what is it that steals the fear of God from us? What is it that causes it to dwindle? Or, to put it in a positive way to say it, how can we cultivate the fear of God? How can we cultivate it? Well, let's look at the example of St. Peter again in the Gospel. How he stepped out in the fear of God. You know, in that moment, he knew that God was almighty. And he knew that Christ was the Son of God. And he knew that he could do anything. He saw him walking on the water, and he trusted, and he believed. And he said, "Call me out." And he stepped out. And then what happened? He was distracted. He was distracted because it's distraction, amongst other things, but especially the distraction that we face in our life in the world that steals the fear of God from us. And again, to put it in a positive way, we can cultivate the fear of God by being mindful of God, by keeping our minds on God, by focusing on Him, by not forgetting Him, by constantly, ceaselessly remembering Him in prayer. St. Peter and all of us, when he began to focus not on Christ, but on his worries, on his anxieties, on all of the thoughts that swarm around in our minds, the storm of thoughts that attacks us, when he began to focus on whatever it is, even good things sometimes, you know? Let's say we come to prayer, we come to liturgy, and we start, I don't know, daydreaming about whatever, and it seems like something good even that we're daydreaming about. But it's not giving our attention to God. It's not cultivating the fear of God. It's by struggling through the tedium of giving our attention to God as often as possible and for as long as we can that we gradually cultivate fear of Him. Really, the good kind of fear, the awareness of His presence always and everywhere. That's what it is, you know, the fear of God. It's knowing that He's with us wherever we go, that He's watching us. And that's a fearful thing, and it's a wonderful thing, because we never have to be afraid. He's with us wherever we go. So we have to fight against distraction. And when we find that we've become distracted, like St. Peter, and we've given ourselves over to fears, and we've begun to sink, then as long as we've been in that state, whether it's been for just a few moments during our prayers or whether we've given ourselves over to that for a long period of our life, we have to come back to the Lord and say, "Lord, save me," just like St. Peter, "save me." In other words, he takes his attention away from the distractions and struggles to cast his eyes back on the Lord and to focus on Him and to cry out in prayer. And immediately the Lord takes him by the hand and raises him up. So this is what we must also do, that we might grow in that kind of fear that delivers us from every other kind of fear, that we might grow in that awareness of God's presence that enables us with courage to face whatever we must face. And we ask that through the prayers of St. Timon the Apostle, our Lord Jesus Christ would grant us that godly fear But grant us courageous hearts, that we might be faithful to him, always, now, and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.